yeah, this morning I want to open up a survival kit and recommend a particular survival kit, and it's called A Going Through It. A Going Through It. You ever been through it before? A Going Through It survival kit. So these are some things to give us some help when we're going through it. I was rehearsing the message with my wife on the way over here this morning, and she says, "Oh, what are you doing, preaching to yourself this morning?" And I said, "Yes, matter of fact, I am." So you get to listen in on me encouraging myself this morning, okay? But I want to begin, as we usually do, from reading from Acts chapter 14, a very famous scripture, at least for me, one that I have mulled over time and time again. But this is a going through it survival kit. And if you're not going through it right now, you will be going through it. And I know some of you have been through it. And life is about going through it, isn't it? And so this is a going through it survival kit. And here in Acts chapter 14, the missionaries were establishing churches and going around and bringing people into the effects and the influence and the power of the good news of Jesus Christ. And on one occasion in some cities, it says in verse 21, it says, get my progressives here where they need to be so I can read it. It says, they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. I've been thinking lately about the power of the gospel. And, you know, it's like, what is it that brings people to faith? And of course, you know, we talk about how it is that we witness to people and come up with convincing testimonies and so on to win people to Christ. And we always have to go back to, and I have to always go back to, that there's something inherent in the message itself to bring people to life in Christ. The scripture itself says that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. In this past week, as I've been reflecting on that, I'm thankful for the gospel that has rescued me. The gospel rescued me. Save my life. And so here we see some of that happening. And then it says that so disciples are made, churches are started, and it goes on to say, then they returned, they started backtracking to some of these places, to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And this is what I'm after. It says, this is the message now. It says, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Encouraging, strengthening, to remain true to the faith. And this is the message. This is what they used, if you will. These are the words that they used to do just that. The next sentence says that we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know about you, but on first glance, that doesn't sound very strengthening or encouraging. Right? I mean, take out the hardship part, and, well, okay. But those were the words that they used. It says that they're encouraging and strengthening them, that we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Interesting. And then, as is my custom also, I'd like to, the supportive passage of Scripture, turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And Peter says something here that I want to zero in on about our faith. Notice the words that he says to the disciples was that they would remain true to the faith. True to the faith. That they'd be able to persevere through and not give up on, not pull the plug on their faith. You know anybody who's done that? I do. I've known people. You know, I know people who have pulled the plug on their faith, and they once were, they're not anymore walking with Jesus. So Peter says this, and I want to read the whole passage because we just have to hear it in context. Starting at verse 3, he says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." What is that? That's the gospel right there. There it is, the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And he says, "And he has brought us into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." And so that there are eternal, invisible things that are a treasure to us, though we don't see them. And he says, "Kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." And this is what I'm after. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." Did you know that was in the Bible?
Yes.
Yes, you know. And I have that underlined in my Bible, you know. It's like, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. But look at what he says. He says, "These have come so that your faith, he says, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire." Stop. And so he throws faith into the mix, and he throws it into the mix as being more precious, more valuable than gold, your faith. Let's pray. Father, here we are before you now looking at your word. And as we consider these things together before you, that the Holy Spirit, who is the master teacher, would come, and that you would draw up alongside of us, as it were, and Lord, that you would instruct us. Lord, I humble myself before you to be taught this morning, and I pray that we would hear something that would change our lives, in Christ's name. Amen. And so, one of the most precious possessions, gifts, if you will, that we have is our faith. And I say that it's a gift because it is something that is given to us by God, faith. And it is our most, for me anyways, my most precious possession. That I have faith in God, that I have faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for me, in thinking about this, it's not difficult. It's not difficult to come by that faith because it is a gift from God. You know, how is it that I have that kind of faith? How is it that I believe? And you know, we think there are all kinds of hoops that we have to jump through. We think that there's all kinds of things that we, you know, have to subscribe to be able to get it. Well, once, you know, I go through the classes, once I'm instructed in this, and once I adhere to this particular religious brand, then I have faith. You know, it doesn't come that way at all. It's a gift from God, faith is. It's a miraculous gift from God, and it's not difficult to get. Like, you know, if you're like me, it's something we realize also that is our faith, that it's often under attack, my faith, you know. Especially when I'm going through difficulties, is it under attack, right? Where I'm challenged to continue, remain true to the faith, you know, to believe God. And, you know, it's like, how many accusations does God receive every hour that he's just, you know, not doing his job? You know, I can only imagine. I've been guilty. You know, where's God now? Why is this happening to me now? God, where are you now? You know, type of thing. And life is such that you know, it has a way of weakening my faith. There are internal conflicts that we go through, right? Things that I struggle with, things that I'm facing, and my faith is challenged, and I'm weakened. There are things that happen to us in life, circumstances being what they are, and my faith is challenged once again. And life has a way. There are times, you know, there are those kinds of things that happen where my faith is drained of strength. And so we have before us the passage where it says these guys were about strengthening and encouraging those who believe to remain true to the faith. And I find that in my own life, you know, that what I want to be about and what I said, you know, in my own heart of preparing this message this morning is that I want to be encouraging this morning to us and to help us together to feel a strength come into our faith. I know some of you where you're at right now and you're facing difficulties. And even if you're not facing difficulties, you know, in an overt way, you know, maybe you're feeling a little weak in faith. Can be strengthened. Peter, in another passage of Scripture, calls our faith precious. Precious. You know, when you think of things that are precious in your life, there are things that you value above everything else, right? That's what it means, that it's precious. You know. And I value my faith above everything else. And Peter calls it precious, our precious faith. And so I've put together a little survival kit, a going through it survival kit. How to, you know, this survival kit, hopefully there'll be some things in there to keep that faith strong, to be encouraged when you're feeling as though you're in a situation that you need to survive. I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you're like me in this area, but I tire sometimes of some people who it always seems as though they're always up here, you know? They're always up here. It's like, you know, they're all, oh, you know, is every how's things go? Oh, it couldn't be any better, you know? And there is this idea of, that I call a Christian triumphalism mentality. You know, and it's like, wow, they live above it all the time. It's like, wow. You know? And I'm standing here, and I could attest to after, how many years of walking with Jesus now? 45 years of walking with Jesus, that I don't always live there. You know, I don't. You know, someone said to me, what was it, yesterday? Oh, yeah, it was Chris said to me yesterday. He says, "Is you okay?" He says, "You seem a little grumpy today." And it's like I said, no, praise God. No, I'm not grumpy. And it's a little sneezy. But anyways, you know, there is this type of thing. And I'm not... You know, I believe the Scripture. If God be for us, who can be against us? Right. Romans 8, absolutely. And that sense of strength. But at the same time, boy, you know, sometimes you survive through things. You know, you survive through things. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You just survive through things. And that's not a you know, bad thing. That's not casting doubt on the kind of faith that we should have. And so I just want to mention a few things in the survival kit that I've put together, okay? Here's the first one, that when you're going through it, to get a word from God when you're going through it. Get a word from God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Scripture says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And so it will when I'm going through it, is that I could hear something from God during that time, it will keep my faith alive. That when I'm going through it, man, I Lord, what are you saying to me? You know, I don't want to ask the question like this. Lord, what are you saying to me through this? No, I just want to say, Lord, what are you saying to me now in my life? And then certainly, you know, okay, what I'm going through, God, how do I, they're going through it. What she's doing is that they're doing the walls of Jericho falling down, so she's actually having them march around. That's what she said she was doing. So, yeah, I hope today's the test. Today's the test, John. Where are you? Today's the test, John. I don't know. But anyways, get a word from God. And now you got to be careful with this, because you know it's like you got to be careful. It's like in getting a word from God, it's like I want to hear an audible voice, and if He sends an angel, I want three of them to come. You know, we have to be careful with this sort of thing, and we also have to be careful with how subjectively we read into this. But the idea is here is that when I'm going through it, that I have a word from God to stand on through that. And it could be something as simple as, a word that from the scripture that you're looking for, say about trust. You know, I need to trust God right now. So I'm going to look into the Psalms, and I'm going to pull out from there a Psalm that talks about trust, and I'm standing on that word right there. That could be something that could be a word from God for you. Now there is, and I believe, where that the Holy Spirit will speak to us a word in times like that. The important thing is get a word from God. Get a word from God. It'll be, you're out there drowning in whatever the circumstance is. When you get a word from God, it'll be like someone just threw you a life preserver. And you're able to stay buoyant instead of going under. So that's the first one, is get a word from God. The second thing in a survival kit that I've put is this. Anticipate hardships. They're going to come. If you're not, as I said, if you're not going through it right now, you will be going through it. There's always something. Remember what Jesus said? We read it last week. He said, in the world you'll have what? Tribulations. Peter speaks to us in the passage that I read. Though now, for a little while, he says, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Anticipate hardships. Smooth seas don't make experienced sailors. And when we lived in the southern tip of the Adirondack Mountains, I was an avid cyclist, not motorcyclist. Bicycle cyclist. And if you know anything about the Adirondacks, it's mountainous. And so I was into, riding my bike. I had to learn how to ride mountains, how to ride hills. I mean, some of them were 6 miles up one way, 7 miles up, And I had to learn how to handle the mountain. I had to pace myself. I had to get a certain cadence and keep on going. I had to learn. Going down was a lot better than going up. I will say that. And so it is with life and a life of faith. There are going to be hardships. There are going to be attacks on our faith. There are going to be difficult things that we face in life. And so the trick is not how is it that we, insulate ourselves from difficulties. Well, you're in for a world of hurt. You think you can insulate yourself. But there are people who really, and there are even people that we may admire and look at and say, wow, doesn't trouble ever touch them? And it really is, it's not a wise thing, and it's in fact a false thing. And so I have to anticipate, I have to be ready for hardships when they come. I've often thought about and have heard it said by those who are experienced in boxing that a fighter in the ring could take a punch and it knocks him out. He could take the same punch if he's prepared for it and it doesn't knock him out. One caught him what? Off guard. You know, you see that. He lost his footing. He just it snuck through and popped him and got him and took him out. But boy, if he's positioned for it, you know, well, they even have women now who box, don't they? Ultimate Fighting stuff there. But even if they're, you know, whatever. And if they can, you know, take it, it's not going to smack them down. You know, you see that. And that's the idea here, is that, boy, you know, just saying, there's going to be hardships in my life. That's not prophesying negativity in your life. You know, it's like saying, well, you know, I don't like the scripture verse in Acts where he says that the only way into the kingdom of God is going through many hardships. Mm-mm. So anticipate hardships. Here's the next one. Put hope to work. And this really speaks to me this morning. Put hope to work. Because there are things that I have in my life, as you probably have as well, that it's like, this is never going to change. You know? It's like, what more can I do? How much more can I pray? And it's like it just stays the same. And this is where you got to put, this is when you got to put hope to work. And hope and faith go together, don't, right? They go together. They're flip sides of the same coin. And so that I'm putting hope to work to bolster, to encourage, to strengthen my faith. And sometimes this is how it has to work. I'm going to get through this. Have you ever been in those situations where it's like, this is it. This is it. I'm going to die right now. Things happen where, it's like getting on the, remember the amusement park rides that you got on as a kid that once you got on, you wish you never did? And it's like, hey, mister, as you're swinging around, get me off of this, you know? And sometimes, you know, we're in that and it's like, oh boy, this is never going to end. And we have to put hope to work and to say to ourselves, I'm going to get through this. Because notice what the text says. It says that we enter the kingdom by going through many hardships. It's when we don't put hope to work that we get stuck in the hardship. But boy, you put hope to work, I'm going to get through this. See, this isn't Pollyannish. This isn't just, you know, putting positive thoughts. You know, think happy thoughts, Peter. Think happy thoughts. No, this is more than that. This is more than that. Because this is genuine faith at work. When we put hope to work. And when I think of this, putting hope to work, I often think of Abraham. And in Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 18, it speaks about Abraham. And we know the story of Abraham and how it was that he was promised a son, and the son never came. And then when it seemed as though there was some light at the end of the tunnel, he was an old fart, right? His wife was just as old as he was, and it was like, we're going to have children now? You know, you got to be kidding, God. And the scripture says this. It says that he hoped against hope. And it's like, what the heck is that? I'll tell you what the heck is that. It's when all seems as though it's impossible, you still say, but God. I'll tell you what the heck is that. It's realizing that his grip upon your life is tighter than your grip upon him. Hoping against hope. I remember when Sandra and I were going through something extremely difficult, we talked to some pastor friend of ours, and he looked at us and he looked at me and he said, God's got this. Anybody ever say any of that to you before? God's got this. And at the time, it was hard to hear because it was like, oh, you know, cliche, God's got this. You know, how cliche. Get, you know, please, don't be so cliche. Tell, give me, you know, get me out of this right now. But the truth of the matter is exactly that. Hoping against hope is God's got this. And having this, I'm going to get through this. God's got me more than I got him. And we're going through to the other side. Here's the last one. You ready for it? So put hope to work. Abraham's a good one to look at in Romans chapter 4 about that. And this is a little bit more drawn out. And a little bit more complex. So I got to really focus. I got to really concentrate on making it simple. We live by faith in an invisible world. Okay? It's difficult sometimes to explain because we don't see into the invisible except by faith. And so God, let's take God for instance. Anybody see him lately? He's what? Invisible. God is invisible. His nature is to us, he is invisible. He is not without form. He is not without personhood. Yet to us, he is invisible. So we live in an invisible world. And the way in which we see in that invisible world is by faith. The more in which we see into that invisible world by faith, the more our chances are of surviving victoriously when we're going through it. You need to really get that. You really do. You need to get it. So that I need to concentrate all of my efforts on developing my relationship with Jesus. Okay? That's how I want to say this fourth one. Concentrate all your efforts on developing your relationship with Jesus. Remembering, as I just said, that is an invisible dimension that I exercise by faith. My relationship with Jesus. Right? So, if you do that, you will persevere through it. In other words, when you're going through it, if you translate what you're going through into and through your relationship with Jesus, that will give you the stamina to persevere through whatever you're going through. Did you hear what I said? We fail because we don't do the translation work. That's why we fail when we're going through it. We don't do the translation work. When you read in particular through the Old Testament and you begin to develop this feel for the Hebrew mentality, or a Jewish mentality, if you will, even. You see, you know, when, let's take, for instance, Job, okay? Because if anybody went through it in the Old Testament, it was Job, right? I mean, the guy went through it. Come on, stay with me on this. Let's connect on this. He went through it. Now, his wife says to him, curse God and die. I mean, with a wife like that, who needed the devil? And so, and now Job didn't do that. He didn't. Now, everything was against him to say, what? That's it. I'm done. And when you read through Job, you get this feeling. I know Job is a difficult book to read because it's written in poetry, poetic language. But Job, he doesn't curse God. I want to tell you something. He comes pretty dang close. He really does. He curses the day he was born. He curses his friends. He curses the pain that he's going through. I mean, he comes mighty close. But what you see through that whole circumstance of Job's life is that what's he doing? He's translating his whole dilemma into and through his relationship with God. How many of you have seen the movie Fiddler on the Roof? I love the scene where Tivia is pulling his cart, his milk cart. What he sold milk and cheese, whatever. And he's pulling it because his horse is lame and in the barn. So he's got to pull the cart. And you watch the movie and you see, of course it's about tradition, but you see the struggles. And he stops at one point while he's pulling the cart and he's talking to God, and he says, God, he says, why can't you pick on some other people? Why are you always picking on us? You know, us Jewish people. And that's a Jewish mentality. That's a Hebrew mentality, right from the Old Testament. And if we can get a hold of that, that when we're going through it, that I'm going to translate this into my life. Even if I say, God, what are you putting me through this now, God? When you do that, you're dealing with God by faith. You are. You're keeping him. It's when you say, that's it. Checking out. You know. Bye, God. And I know people like that, and they turn on God, you know, and they check out, and they're done. But man, we keep this thing alive, whatever we're going through in our relationship with him, so that what I'm seeing here is that Jesus wants to be in the middle of my hardship to enhance my relationship with him. Wow. You know, Melody was talking about all those things in our lives that he tears down so that he can build up those things in our lives that are of utmost importance. Wow. Don't you wish it could just happen like this? Watch. Done. Thank you, God. I'm there. Don't you wish? That's not life. That's not reality. That's not the design of things in which we live. No. Well, you say, what is the design of things in which we live? Going through it. Hence the importance of having a going through it survival kit. And how it is that I need to learn to translate everything in my life when I'm going through it into and through my relationship with Jesus. So that, you know, Sandra causes me so much grief. And, you know, and it's been tough. It is. It's been tough. It is. You're welcome. So that, you know, it's been tough for me over the years to get this. To get that. And I'll never forget this. When she and I were going together, we were at Bible school, and I broke up with her more times than I can count, because how can I be spiritual and have a girlfriend? And so I remember going to the dean of students for counseling, and Paul Johansson. We were talking, and he said, you know, it's like this. He said, here's your life, and you're doing this and this, and God has brought her into your life, and right behind her is the Holy Spirit, through her to work on you. And it's like, I think I want to see the next dean. Who can I talk to next? It's like, listen, I'm here for you to straighten out her. What's this got to do with me? right? And sometimes, you know, this is what I have found in our relationship. And in the context of everything I go through, it's like, you know, I go to God, and it's like, God, you know, I got something for you to fix. And he says, it's okay, boy, I got my eye on you, don't worry. And it's like, wait a minute, God, I'm not talking about me. He says, oh, but I am. And so this is the idea, you know, and if we're able to walk in that kind of way, we will persevere through it and remain true to the faith. It's when we don't do that. Well, now, you see, I got a big problem with you after it's your fault. And we develop this chip on our shoulders, bitterness sets in, and we have now shipwrecked, pulled the plug on our faith. Yeah. You made me do it. You made me do it. So I realized that I got to concentrate all of my efforts on developing my relationship with Jesus. So this is really a takeoff even from last week where I said that the most important thing in my life is my relationship with Jesus, right? So that this is a survival kit that I want to submit to you folks, submit to us. I had to review this in my own life as I'm dealing with some particular things. And say, oh, man, I got to get a hold of this so that I make it into the kingdom of God. And how do I make it into the kingdom of God? By going through many hardships. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there by going through many hardships. I'm done. So what are they? You got him up there? Yes, he does. Isn't he such a good boy, Todd? Going through it, surviving. Doesn't that look nice? Wait till we get upstairs and the TV screens will be on both sides and bigger, too. Nice. That'd be nice. That's going to be cool. But put hope to work. Nice. Isn't that wonderful? Awesome. Look at that. Good stuff. Okay. We will pray. But anyone want to give a quick comment on any of this stuff? Becca, how you doing? You going through it?
Always.
Always. You know. That's the right answer. It's like, what, you know, it's like, when are you not going through it? You know, it's like, son of a gun. You know.
So when you're going through it, that's what makes you appreciate the time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You gotta
go through the valley. Yes. And I think that, you know, that in saying that, there is a time when you don't go through it. There is. That's right, exactly. But there are those times, you know. So it's you know, not to be negative or, you know, that type of thing, down in the mouth type of Linus type of gloominess. Was that Linus? Yeah, Linus. You know, no, not at all. Eeyore type of mentality as well. Eeyore, yeah. You know, that's an onomatopoeic word, Eeyore. How you doing? Yeah. Any other comments? Good stuff. That's a great comment. Anything else? Anything else in particular that you do when you're going through it that helps you? Yes. I think that's a big one.
It's about me.
Yes.
As you said.
Yep. I think that's a big one, yeah. We have a tendency to forget, don't we, when we're going through it. It's like, hey, you know, God pulled me through before. He's going to be faithful to pull me through now.
Right.
We forget, you know. Another one for me is phone a friend. Go ahead, Bob.
Nothing. I was just thinking about David. He killed a lion.
Yes. You know, when I think of David killing the lion and the bear, I almost think that was worse than going after Goliath. I mean, think about it. a lion and a bear. Goliath was nothing. Yeah. Okay, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
I call it the CNS game.
Say again?
I call the trials the CNS game. It's the circumstances and situations of our life that are growing us.
Yes. Yes, it is a wonderful place. And the thing with anticipating hardships is this. I think that there is that building a momentum or having a history where, hey, you know what, God got me through that. God got me through that. See, so you anticipate, God got me through that. Hey, this is, and you know, you come up against the next thing. Hey, I got this. Cool, very cool. Anyone else? Go ahead. Yes. I think that's a great point. And I think, from my own experience, that we do not realize how many lies we believe. Especially when we're going through it. I mean, how many of you have thought, I'm never going to get through this, things are never going to change. You know, so just got to live with this. You know, never going to change. And Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I've been sick before for lack of hope. You know, hope is a wonderful thing. Hope is a wonderful thing. Yeah, hoping, it's wonderful. But that, exactly, you know, and lies. Yeah, you're always going to be like this. Your father was like this. You're going to be like this. That is a lie from the pit of hell. No, I believe in generational influences upon our lives. I'm telling you, you know, it's a real thing. What the lie is that you're cursed too. That's upon you. I refuse that. I refuse that. You know, were you going to say something? Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. It's very true, yeah. It really, you know, that's a whole perseverance thing. You know, it enables us to persevere, yes. Yeah, a little poem, yeah. Yes, yeah. Ooh, that's major. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's a biggie. That's a biggie. And you'd be surprised how people are reading your life and mine, especially when we're going through it. But don't we value the lives of people that we see going through stuff, and yet, not that they don't falter, not that they don't struggle, not that they don't suffer, but boy, they get through it. Aren't those the type of people that we admire and value? I mean, they really are the types of people. And I think that this is something that God wants to put within all of us. And we really have to be careful when it comes, this is the other side of that coin, of how it is, we have to be careful how we judge what other people are going through. Because unless you've been in their shoes, you just don't know. And what may seem like a simple thing to me, for them, it's major. And we don't see the internal conflict. We don't see the other hassles. We don't see so many things. We have to be careful. Was someone else going to say? Becca. Becca. Okay, yep.
I wrote this a couple years ago. In his grace, there are days that you fight and you're getting it done, and then you have those days where you don't even go on and you want to give up and you want to run. I always thought on those days when I wanted to run away, I would leave. But I realized today that I'm at my strongest when I am, and I think I am at my weakest. Those are the days where the fighter in me truly is. I rise.
Wow, good. And this is something that connects with what John was saying too, is that this is a tough thing to talk about, and we're done now, but this is a tough thing to talk about in so few seconds, but God wants to bring us to our breaking point. Not to rub how weak we are in our own, faces, so to speak, but to show us that when we are weak, then we are strong. And there is something about brokenness that God admires, that I am broken. And it's like, this thing has broken me. Oh, that's good. That's good. Someday we'll investigate all of that a little bit further from the life of Jacob, who was a broken man. Okay? Everybody done? Good stuff. And okay, so Lord Jesus, we're here in your presence, as we say, and this is real stuff. And though we speak about these things, Lord, in this context, we know that there is a triumph that we have in Christ, even to, as it were, reign in life over these difficulties by faith. Lord, we want to be that kind of people. So we ask for your help. I ask for your help. Amen. Hey, God bless you.